Hey guys, welcome. This is Fine Wine to be the Wine Business Podcast. I'm Trevor, and this is episode 12. Today, we are going to play Wine Roulette. You probably never heard about Wine Roulette. To be honest, about 2-3 weeks ago, I haven't heard about Wine Roulette either, but nevertheless, we'd probably try to play it tonight. And my guest is Nelly Ward, wine educator, wine business owner. And we're going to play the game, what I believe she invented. At least I only heard it from her before, and let's chat about wine business a little bit. So all this after my epic intro. Well, hello, Nelly. Welcome.
Hi, Chava. Hello.
So I already asked you, but are you honestly nervous about this interview? Because I don't think you should be.
Well, considering this is my first ever podcast with the professional podcaster, I am a little bit nervous.
The professional is, yeah, that's in brackets, big time. But yes, thank you for that. Anyway, we're going to talk about wine roulettes and the game what you invented. We have some wine in front of us as well. But I think before we head into the game itself, I think the best way to introduce you is if you introduce yourself a little bit, because I sort of know the basics, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more about how you ended up in wine, where you're coming from, what did you do before, and you know, all those things.
Yes, sure. So I'm really coming from not necessarily a wine country originally. I'm from Belarus. So when I was growing up, I was more into spirits and beer rather than wine. But coming to the UK more than 15 years ago, this is where my wine journey started. And my first profession here was not about wine at all. So I have studied as a lawyer, and then I ended up in banking and had a 10-year career in banking. But in a way, that's what helped me to get into wine, because in one of my banks that I used to work for, we used to have a wine club. And this is when a small group of us would be going to wine tastings around London, like once a quarter or so. And this is where I first encountered a proper description of wines from the sommeliers and the wine shop managers. And when I was listening to them talking about the forest floor, you know, the cows on the summer meadow and all the buttery notes, and I was like, what are you talking about? I'm not sure that I can smell it. I'm not sure that I can taste it, but I surely like how you talk. Yes. So at some point later on, I decided I actually want to understand like where it's all coming from. I want to get the vocabulary. I want to understand how to professionally taste the wine. So whilst I was still in banking, I went for my first WCT level 2 course, and I had no idea what to expect about it. And I just went. It was a 3 days consecutive course, and yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was 9 to 5. You start tasting wine. You start sending pictures of like 9 glasses in front of you to your colleagues asking, how is your day going? Yeah, so once I got my results that I passed the exams, I straight away booked myself on level 3. After I passed level 3, I straight away booked myself to the diploma. And this is where there is a caveat. If someone actually told me what a WCT diploma actually entails, yeah, I might not have gone for it. But I was so excited and I really wanted to continue my education, so I did go into it. And yes, it's a big step up, and especially for someone not being connected to the wine trade whatsoever, it was a tough job. But yes, some way halfway through my diploma, I actually started thinking whether it's just a hobby or whether I want to have a look if I can turn it into a career. And yes, at some point, I did take a leap of faith and I followed my passion. and I joined the wonderful wine trade. And yes, after working for several companies and building up my network, building up my understanding, building up my connections, I started my own business, organizing wine tastings in London. And yes, if I may say, wine roulette is not necessarily my invention, but I am successfully running it in partnership with Oena, a house here in London, a wonderful company with amazing fine wines. So yes, I don't want to take the credit for the invention.
Fair enough, fair enough. I'm not sure who is your connection there, but I assume it's probably Effie who you're dealing with. And
amongst the other wonderful people who work there, yes.
So yeah, we don't want, you know, our asses kicked by Effie for saying
absolutely
that you invented
not
this. Anyway, so Effie, if you're listening, excuse me, it was my fault. And let's talk about wine roulette, because I think it's, you know, it's an exciting part of your range of tastings, what you do, because you don't just do wine roulette itself, but I suppose that's the most exciting, at least when I looked at it, because I organized wine tastings before for companies, and I did a lot of them. And my problem always been that after a while, at least for me, became boring, because it was very much the same thing over again. And when I saw the wine roulette, I suppose, it's brilliant. It's a great idea to, you know, spice it up a little bit. It's not just about your knowledge, it's about luck as well. And at the same time, you learn something, because I think that's the key element of wine tasting as well.
Definitely, definitely.
So I have my wine in front of me. You have yours. Okay. You start, and then I guess I have to guess which one it is, and we'll see how it goes. But I hope you choose something fairly easy for me, because I didn't do the WSET diploma. I only left at level 3. I always been a lazy one, so I stopped there anyway.
Well, so it might not be the worst decision, I'm telling you. It's a lot of stress for W4 and WSET for you. You know, you don't really need it that much unless you're getting into wine buyer options and getting much deeper into it.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's try it.
Let's try it. Okay. Well.
Okay. So, yeah. Usually, obviously, I run it in person. So you actually have the same wine in your glass that I do. So this is like triple difficult for you, Csaba. Yeah,
that's okay.
But
it's a challenge.
Yes, exactly. It's a challenge. But I did choose very classical, you know, nothing weird of different grapes blend or anything. This is 100% varietal wine. It's a very typical wine from this place, so it shouldn't give you any real problems.
Okay, so, well, let's see. I think it's a red wine, if I can say that. That's one,
yes,
one chips on the table. Yeah, okay.
Yes, you guessed correctly. So it's a good start already.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how it's going to work on a camera, but like for everyone also watching, it's always good as well to have a look at the color of the wine and how deep it is. And I don't know. And it's always good to do it like next to the paper, white piece of paper. But I don't know that I can do the proper justice to it, but like you can see some different color hues there. This is a little tip for you. Have a look at the rim. And so that's usually the first way to have a look, because some of grape varieties will give it away by the intensity of the color of the or the color itself, and it can also indicate the age of the wine. So I hope that it gave you something.
It looks deepish in terms of the rim. I'm not sure, but I think it's probably a little bit more like purple sort of.
Exactly. So you've seen it through the camera perfectly. I'm just gonna confirm that, because yes, correct. So it's quite deep, and it has a purple you to it. So, yeah. Okay, we're on the right track.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, if red you smell
wine
it. With
dark red wine, okay. I'm narrowing it down. It's probably there about, we go. You know, rest of the word left apart from nothing. But yeah, okay, go for it.
Okay, so it's quite intense on the nose, and I'm getting mostly the black fruit aromas with some nose of dark chocolate, with some also slight flowery notes, like a bit of violet in there, as well as some toast, a little bit of cedar.
Okay.
But not that much of the tertiary aromas. So I'm not getting really big forest notes or big development on it. So there is a bit of for you as well.
Okay.
So
the sad part is it might be exactly the same wine which I have, because this is exactly the wine aromas I have in my glass as well. But anyway, yeah. Okay.
Well, we haven't planned it, so if no. This is the case, that's going to be like the coincidence of the century.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay, palette-wise.
Okay, so palette-wise, this is a quiet, full-bodied wine. The tannins are medium, let's put it at medium. They're quite smooth. The acidity is medium plus, towards maybe a little bit higher. So the fruit flavors are ripe, but not overly ripe. There is a good freshness to it. And again, on the palate, you do have a little bit of that toast, a little bit of the milk chocolatey flavor. Mm-hmm. And the finish is quite long. I can still taste it. So it's a very good wine. I wouldn't necessarily put it to outstanding, because it might gain a little bit more complexity later on. But right now it's a very well-made wine. In terms of the alcohol, I would say it's a medium alcohol. I can't really taste it on its own. So it's a very balanced wine. And yeah, it's very, very
delicious,
drinkable.
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so
okay, well
it's a tough one. I think I'm just thinking, yeah, obviously you're talking about something which is a varietal wine, full-bodied, okay, and then you said dark fruit, mainly dark fruit.
Yeah, dark fruit. We're talking like black cherry, maybe black plum, but not like all the way into black currant. We're not there.
Okay. Can I ask, is it old word or new word?
Okay, I will give you a hint. It's a new world.
It's a new word wine. Okay. It's a tough one, because I think you just coming back from South Africa, I believe. So it's going to be...
South America, yes.
Okay. So I'm guessing, I don't know. I don't think it's Malbec, because then it would be more red fruit than dark fruit, in my opinion. Okay. it's an Argentine Malbec, right? Yeah. Okay. Strange. Anyway, that's fine. Okay. That was a fairly easy one, although I wouldn't get it if if your poker face is a little bit better
yeah,
than
yeah, I would never be able to play poker. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay.
Let's stick to the roulette then. Okay. Fine. Okay, that's good.
Yeah, because it is.
Okay, Malbec from Argentina. I didn't even ask the price, because the other option I had was something from the US in mind. Mm-hmm. But again, just because you mentioned ageability, so there was a bit of, you know, its potential to age. Yeah, I don't know. What is the wine?
Oh, shall I reveal it?
Yeah.
So this is
I know the wine.
Catena Malbec, High Mountain Vines. It's an amazing wine, and I actually have been lucky enough to go to Catena Winery personally.
Yeah.
was my dream for a while. I love what Laura Catena is doing there, and all the research, all the amazing things that they do with the vines, with the soils, and helping out not just themselves but the whole Argentina and the whole world in terms of research.
It's lovely wine. I've never been to Argentina. In South America, I only managed to get to Colombia. So I see the Andes, but I only see the Andes from a coffee plantation point of view rather than a winery point of view. But anyway.
Sure it was a great trip as well.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it is amazing. And yeah, we definitely want to go back to South America. And if we can, we were actually talking about it would be nice to go for a slightly longer period of time and maybe travel around a little bit if it's, you know, if it's safe enough as well, because obviously that's sometimes a concern. Well, okay, I almost miserably failed, but thanks to your terrible poker face in this case, it was a Malbec from Argentina. Okay, it was a fairly straightforward wine. I wasn't as kind to you, if I can say that. My wine is a little bit more. But it's simply because you have the diploma, so you should know this after a few years of studying.
Right.
You should get everything. I'm terrible because I don't even have the, you know, I don't even have the white paper. I can show it here. I don't think it's going to look too much. It's fairly deep.
It is fairly deep.
It's fairly deep.
I think it's kind of ruby.
I would say probably, excuse the watermarks on the glass. But yeah, it is. I think it's still, it's not that ruby, but yeah, okay. We can go with ruby.
Okay.
Aromas, very much the same as what you described on your wine. So it's not an Argentine Malbec, by the way.
Okay.
maybe it has a lot of that sort of forest fruit, dark notes, dark berries. It also has a bit of that sort of tobacco style, cedar. Yeah, very much dark fruit. And it has a bit of, already on the nose, it has a bit of rusticity.
Okay.
So that might help. I don't know if it helps anyway.
Rusticity. Rusticity. Yeah. Okay.
It's not, there are no tertiary flavors again. It's fairly young. I'm going to give that away. And on the palate, full-bodied. Quite big, actually. Quite full-bodied. Quite ripe. Ripe fruit. The same style of aromas what you would get on the nose, which doesn't help you because you didn't smell it. But it's very much the same as your wine was. Very long finish. The alcohol is a little bit high, although I think it's still very much in balance. I don't actually know what else I can tell about the wine. Acidity is fairly high as well, I would say. It's big, big wine. Think about a fairly big wine. But I can give you a price point as well, just to help you a little bit. I don't know if it helps again, but it's somewhere between 20 to 25 pounds. Okay. Again, a lot of wine falls into that. And it's not a single varietal.
Oh.
It's a blend. Okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Would the, that sort of rustic note in there, would that steer you towards something?
Well,
fairly big, fairly spicy. Actually, it's quite big, spicy, rustic, but ripe fruit.
Okay, ripe
and
fruit.
Dark fruit.
So we are in the new world as well.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough. I know. It's just tough. Because you have the diploma. That's why.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Chavo.
Yeah. Nobody's gonna book anything with you anymore. So that's
I know. You're ruining my business now. Okay, when you're saying it's spicy, is it more like a pepper spice or is it a sweet spice?
Actually, sort of both, but quite peppery. It has sweetness, but that's from the oak age. And the peppery notes are more from the terroir, from the grape, maybe. Anyway, you're never gonna guess this wine. I know that. So it's like, I'm not doing okay. Fair play here. So anyway, it's three grape varieties.
Three grape varieties. Okay, are we in Spain?
Close, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, might be Portugal then.
It is Portugal, actually. It is Portugal.
Okay.
So okay. Now you have to guess the three grape varieties, obviously. It's not Alvarinho, if you wanted to hear that.
Yeah, well, okay. This I could have told you, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so is it mostly their indigenous varieties or is it international ones?
Yeah, it's very classic Portuguese varieties.
Okay, so there must be some Touriga Nacional there.
Yeah, about 65%, yeah.
Okay.
I'm reading it as well because I can't remember. But yeah.
Okay. What
else is in there? That's what you're asking. Okay. Touriga Nacional, Touriga Franca.
Franca. I wanted to say Tintoreries. Okay.
Of course you do, but yeah, that's at that time long past. So anyway. But I would never really use the word rusticity in a very traditional Portuguese wine, though. So I think I'm going to tell you, because otherwise it's like people just turn this thing off and then they're never going to come back. So it's a wine from two families. One of them is, I don't even know how to pronounce it, but Roque, the family who owns Crusto, Quinta de Crusto in the Douro. Okay. And the other one is Cazay, I don't know, who owns Chateau Lange-Barge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. And this is the wine. I don't know if you can see it.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a Douro 2020 vintage and Touriga Nacional, Touriga Franca, and Tintoreries. It's a very difficult wine to get to anyone on a blind tasting, especially if you're not tasting the wine. But I can't blame you, honestly. It was a cruel decision to taste this wine, but anyway.
Well, it's okay. I take the pleasure that we still got to Portugal and I got at least some of the varieties. So it's
No. It's good. It's and it was really cruel from me because I just thought it, you know. It was a wine which I really enjoyed recently, and I thought nobody will ever guess this wine if I do it in a blind tasting. And I'm quite far away from anyone to do a blind tasting with at the moment, so I thought, there we go. One of my guests should suffer. That's it. And that was you, sorry.
Okay, so it was just an excuse to open this bottle. I get it.
Yes, exactly. I actually Coravanned it, so yeah. And this is probably, that's why I described the aromas badly, because you know it wasn't opened up properly and everything, and that's why you didn't get it. That's it. So anyway, yeah, in real world, how wine roulette goes, you can now explain to people, whoever is still here and listening.
Yeah. That's a good point. So usually we taste five wines blind, but yes, obviously you do get your own glass, and each player gets 10 chips to start with, and we have a proper mat with, like in the roulette, but it's on the mat you can find like old world, new world, then it goes into countries, into regions, into grape varieties and vintages. Yeah. And after each wine has been tasted, players can place their bets on whatever they think that they are confident in. They can go all in, or they can just place it on one thing, and then obviously the return on the correct guesses depends on the what the difficulty of the category that they chosen. And okay, if they chosen incorrectly, the house gets their chips.
Okay, and they win a bottle of wine, as you explained it to me before.
Yes. At the end of the game, whoever has the biggest amount of chips, they get a bottle of wine as a prize.
Okay.
And that's hate fun around the table from other players.
Okay. that's obvious. Yes, I suppose. Yeah. It sounds like a really interesting game, actually. And obviously, while they taste blind, they learn about the wine as well. And they pick up a lot of knowledge.
Exactly. I had comments and feedback from my guests that they actually learned much more than at usual tastings, because it's in a fun way. And then the questions that they ask, like, why or how could I have guessed that this is the wine or the variety? You know, when I answer the specific questions, this information stays in their heads rather than at the normal tasting when you just describe the wine as normal and people just get bored after a while. As you were saying yourself, Chava, like if you do the same thing all the time, it does become boring. And it's also very fun to see how people change, because at the beginning usually everyone is so, you know, shy. They don't know what to place. They don't want to look stupid if they chosen incorrectly or something like that, or to show that they have no idea about the wines. That's the beauty of it. As you said at the beginning, you don't need to be an expert on wine to play it. You can just have a good strategy, or you can be just lucky and win the whole thing. By the end of the game, usually people start getting much more excited.
After a few glasses of wine,
that helps.
Yes. So promise me one thing: don't put this wine in the blind tasting.
No, we are not that cruel.
Yes, I like to keep this title for myself. So it sounds quite interesting. What type of wines do you put into the tasting? Is it always themed around a country or a region or anything like that? Or is it all over the place?
For these games, of course, we try to keep it international. So, there is a variety from New World, Old World, different grapes. But yes, if it is a blend that we do put in, it will be something much more usual, like a Bordeaux wine, so it will be then recognizable by the region rather than the single grape, for example.
Fair enough. I mean, to be honest, this is very much like a Bordeaux, just made in the Douro, that's all. So again, that's my fault. If you're not doing wine roulette, or if you're not presenting wine roulette, what else do you do in the world of wine?
I do also normal tastings. When I say normal, I mean without
boring
the game.
Tastings. No, sorry. Okay, no.
I'd like to think that my tastings are never boring.
Okay, that was the cruel in me. Sorry.
Well, it's okay. And so it can be. Well, my next one is going to be about the wines of South America, because I just came back there, as you already mentioned, and we will be tasting some of the best wines from Chile and Argentina. And I will be also sharing my stories about the travel, about my personal experience with the wineries. So I try to make it as personal as possible, because I do feel then that when you talk to people about somewhere that you've been yourself and know it personally, it always translates much better. And people engage much better as well in it. And I try to give, of course, I want people to remember something from after they leave the tasting. But for me, this is not a session of WCT education. You know, it's about making people to appreciate wine and hoping that they will have fun along the way. So it's much less formal, and I like them as well to talk to each other, me talking to them, answering the questions, and it's more interactive and engaging than just a masterclass when I am speaking and hoping that everyone is not falling asleep.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I can tell you a very funny, or I don't know if it's funny, actually, it's probably a sad story, because one day I had to create a tasting for a rather large group. It's a corporate, quite well-known company, actually, in the UK. I'm not going to say who it is, but...
Don't.
anyway, it was embarrassing anyway. And it was, there were a lot of elderly people there to start with. And I was like, okay, well, that's going to be interesting. First of all, they're probably not going to understand a thing which I'm saying because of my accent. Second, they're probably not going to hear it. And again, I'm not being judgmental or anything, but what I didn't dream of is that one of the gentlemen who sat in the first few tables actually fell asleep on the tasting.
Oh my God. So
that was a bit of a... You know, a bit of a shocker. I didn't take it personally. He was tired, obviously. And the amount of wine they consumed didn't help either. So, but yes, things happen. Things happen on these tastings. But anyway.
Never happened to me yet, and I hope it will never happen. But yeah, perhaps okay. He just had a stressful, long day, you know, at work.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's quite a disappointment, especially for the person who fell asleep, because, you know, it must have been uncomfortable sitting on a chair, sleeping. Yeah. And, you know, finally, I just wanted to ask you about the future, because you just mentioned WSET tasting as well earlier. And is that something what you're planning to do? Is that something what you wanted to do? Because obviously with the level 4, you can actually teach WSET as well. So that sounds like an idea as well along the way.
Yeah, good question, Chavo. I actually have completed the certified educator program as well with WCT last year. So yes, teaching the WCT qualifications is on the cards, whether I'm going to be doing it through opening my own school or joining another school that still I'm looking at. And also because I've been now to so many countries, to so many wine regions, and actually visited so many wineries and vineyards, I want to share my experience as well. And so wine travel is another avenue that I am exploring right now. But yeah, things still at the beginning stages, let's put it this way. But yeah, that's something that I would really like to do in the future as well. Hopefully not that far future.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. And in terms of the future of the wine industry in general, what do you see? Are there any trends what you see nowadays? Are you concerned about anything in the wine trade at the moment? Or is there you know, things which are very hopeful for you?
Well, talking about the UK wine industry, obviously everyone was very concerned about things with logistics and all the everything that was happening after Brexit. But I think now it's everyone calmed down and people figured out how things should be working, and it's not... Of course, it's not perfect yet, but it never was.
Yes.
But I think now it's a little bit less of stress out there. And yeah, I think as well, there was a lot of talk, and there is still a lot of talk about that the younger generation not necessarily going into wine, and they prefer beer and cocktails or going completely to no alcohol at all. I don't know, because I think from what I can see people are engaging, and I guess this is about how the future is going to be. It's depending on us as wine professionals, whether we want to keep wine as a very exclusive kind of snobby club that only the chosen ones can join, and you have to have your qualifications to even be able to talk about it. If we want to keep it like that, then yes, we will end up with catering only for certain public and not engaging the young generation. But if we make it approachable and show young people that actually the only thing that you need to know about wine is whether you like it or not, then you will have a completely different discussion. And that's what I'm trying as well to bring with my tastings, to make it a bit educational, but by no means boring or difficult.
I mean, in terms of the wine roulette, for example, what is the, you know, demographics of that? Is that more the younger generation or is it more the older generation? Do they sleep on the tasting or do they not?
No one is sleeping, but I genuinely have groups with such a different age gap, like from late 20s to all the way to over 60s. So it's everyone is enjoying it. It's fun.
I mean, it's obviously, it is, on a more serious note, it is an issue with the younger generation, and there's a lot which needs to be done, I think, generally, about that. But it's also, I think, in many ways, it's inevitable, because especially in the Western world, I think a lot of younger people already more concerned about environment, more concerned about healthy living than before. And I think part of that is alcohol and alcohol consumption as well. Although I'm not sure what they put into their stomach is actually that healthy sometimes, but at the same time, I think that is a trend which we have to tackle somehow. And I think there are a lot of ways to do it. And one of them is obviously the tastings, and make it more fun and make it more engaging, obviously. And other things as well with communication, you know, new packaging, and there are a lot of things which has to be thought about before the wine industry can, I think, move on to, you know, more fruitful territories, I suppose. But yeah, it's a very interesting one. I think I have one very good idea for you, though, if you wanted to expand the wine roulette thing. I think I know about a country which really likes it. It's called Nevada. I think you would have a lot more coverage there in terms of wine roulette, I think, if you wanted to visit, you know. There's a nice little city there. They would love it in Vegas, I think. So maybe just an idea, really. So
Okay, Chava, thank you. I will explore it, and yes, you'll be the first to know when I fly there.
Okay, thank you. It's, as I often say, if I have these sort of good ideas, I only take a small cut from the top. So, yeah, let me know if that is.
Don't worry, I won't forget you.
Yeah, thank you. That's very kind. Well, Nelly, I think, you know, it was fun. I hope everyone liked it, although you guys couldn't taste the wine Nelly tasting. I couldn't taste the wine what she's tasting anyway, but she couldn't taste my wine. So that's, you know, I wouldn't recommend it as a future wine tasting experience where you can't taste the wine what people are talking about, because that's a difficult one. But nevertheless, I think it was fun, and you know, we got a little bit of insight into how wine roulette works, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope it wasn't terrible for you, Nelly, though, because you know,
you were
really nervous in the beginning about your first podcast interview. That's
I loved it, even though you were very cruel with your wine choice for me to guess. But it was fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And obviously, you are a great presenter and a lovely person to talk to.
Yeah. Well, the latter one, obviously. But the first one, I wouldn't go that far, obviously. But yeah, guys, thank you very much. And if don't forget, subscribe, share, like, you know, press all the buttons down there, you know, and hopefully this episode will go further than the previous one. And I hope you guys enjoyed it and see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.